Morning, Zeke.
Howdy, how are you doing?
I'm okay, how are you?
Not bad, not bad.
How was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving?
Yes, you were gone for the whole week last week.
No,
I missed you.
No, but Thanksgiving was,
American Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no, yeah, I wasn't.
Okay, anyway, I seem to have caught you off guard with that question.
You confused me because I wasn't away for Thanksgiving. I was actually here for American Thanksgiving. I went away the previous weekend, and then it got back last Monday.
Yes.
And then at which point last Thursday was Thanksgiving, and so I was here, and my Thanksgiving was fine. Thank you very much.
Okay, because there are some people that have gone the weekend before.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Anyway. Okay.
But yes, no, I was down in Princeton, which is what I wanted to get there. Yes. I was down in Princeton, New Jersey, having a grand old time. And on my way down to Princeton, because since I don't fly, it's the sort of thing where I end up having to take the train to get down there. And you were supposed to ask why I don't fly, but that's okay if you don't worry.
Some people just don't like flying.
Oh, no. It's more I don't like the airports.
Oh, okay. You have another reason why you don't like
it.
Okay.
But it's okay. We digress. But no, it's a 12-hour train ride down to New York City and then another hour on the New Jersey Transit and so on with the commuters. And so I took full advantage of that 12 hours to read this new book. Let me get my piece of paper so I can sound authoritative and like I know what I'm talking about. It's called The Visual Arts in Canada, the 20th Century, and it's edited by Anne Whitlaw, Brian Foss, and Sandra Pikowski. And it's a big, big book. It's got like lots of color, glossy plates and pictures of cool art and stuff like that. But unfortunately, it's tedious. It was a good thing I was on the train because I didn't bring many other books and so on and so forth, and at which point I had to read it. And
what did you learn from the book, Steve?
Well, there it's the sort of thing where I have, I don't know, 7 pages of my tiny scroll listing off all the artists who are named in the book that I had never heard of. And initially what I'd wanted to do was to pre-record me reciting those names as just sort of the background. And so you'd hear this drone of, Isabel McLaughlin, Donald Jarvis, Ted Goodwin, Eleanor Bond, Christopher Pratt, Richard Byerzon, Jeff Thomas, Kate Craig, and so on and so forth. Because it is the sort of thing where it seemed they kicked in somewhere about, like, I think chapter 6 or so, where it seemed that they wanted to be absolutely comprehensive and name absolutely every last person that ever made anything artistic in Canada. And as a consequence, it sort of gets a little bit sort of like tedious, because it's fine and dandy to just have this sort of roll call of artists, but if all you have is a roll call of artists, then at which point you really don't get a sense of what they do, how they do it, or anything like that.
So it's just name dropping then?
Pardon?
No, go on. Sorry.
And at various points, because there's also the sort of thing where each chapter is written by a different person. And so they're all over the place in terms of style and how the way that people write. And some people write better than others, and some people write worse than others, and some people, like myself, can't write to save their life. And it struck me as being almost like a roll call, and it would be nice. I think I'm going to go and try and go back and figure out who Kazu Nakamura was and where his art is and why, if he's a he, because I think Kazu was a guy's name. It's the sort of thing where it's just sort of like just makes my eyes want to roll back in my head. And
I think you had other books you were in the process of reading as well.
Yes.
Do you not find that sometimes they kind of overlap into each other if they're dealing with the same subject matter?
No, the other one was the AIA Guide to New York, which there's no way you can confuse that with the Visual Arts in Canada.
I thought you were reading another book that you had received from Switzerland, no? I'm really curious about that book.
From Switzerland?
Yes, there is this book that you received from Switzerland. I can't wait for you to read that book.
Okay, that's Rethinking Curating. We'll get to that.
Is that a holiday book? Because it sounds really intensive.
I think it's more like
time to read it, to digest it.
The other book that I brought was the AIA Guide to New York City, which is how I think all guidebooks should be written. And it was the sort of thing where I brought it down because I was going to be traveling through New York. So, there's a lot of buildings in New York City. That's okay. And as background, it's the AIA, is the Architects Institute The American Institute of Architects, and this is the fifth edition that just came out, I think, somewhat towards the end of summer, beginning of fall, or something like that. And it's sort of formatted like, you know, the Michelin Guide, so it's tall and skinny, like a skyscraper. And what they did is basically, well, no, it makes sense if it's the architect AIA guide. It's all about buildings and the skyscrapers and so on.
Skyscrapers.
But yeah, basically they go block by block throughout all of New York, describing which buildings are cool and which buildings are not cool and which buildings are horrible and which buildings are phenomenal and what the historic things and what you should look at to make you realize why the buildings are good, bad, or indifferent. And it's just that, like, they do, yeah, here, we'll take Southern Brooklyn for one. It's at Coney Island. There's this thing called the parachute jump, and it's Brooklyn's Eiffel Tower, the last fragment of the vanished Steeplechase Park. Steeplechase closed in 1964. The last jump was in 1968. Happily, after years of neglect, an ongoing restoration commenced in 2002, repainted and creatively lighted. Plans have been tossed around for a parachute pavilion activity center at the tower's base. Look for news. And it's basically, they have like small little paragraphs that describe a variety of buildings. And it's the sort of thing where you just take this and you decide, okay, I'm going to be at this block and I'm going to start walking. And they have suggested tours, but you can divert because they are very comprehensive. They go all five boroughs. They talk about stuff that no longer is there. They talk about stuff that is going to be there. And it's from this I got very, very enthused, and I want to do something similar for Montreal.
The light lit up.
Pardon?
The light lit up, the glimmer.
It gives me a nice little glow.
It does. Uh-huh. That's a great idea.
And then the last thing I wanted to talk about briefly was the Princeton Art Museum. Because there, I'm used to Canadian University art galleries. And so it's the sort of thing where the art museum at Princeton University is nothing like any Canadian university gallery. It's almost on a par with the Musée des Beaux-Arts de Montréal. It's just it's in a smaller building. And it's the sort of thing where, yeah, they have a fairly comprehensive collection. And you go down to the basement, and because they have the smaller building, everything is sort of cheek to jowl. It's like just jammed together, everything. And it made my eyes, which will start swirling around because it was just way difficult to concentrate on so much stuff all at once. And from there, it was a sort of thing like the top floor where they have, let me get my map out here. On the top floor, they have your standard issue American art, and that's art that's made in the United States of America. They also have European art. They have contemporary art. I got to see one of Warhol's Brillo boxes, which I think I'm also going to make at one point. But then downstairs in the basement, they have Chinese art, South Asian art, African art, art of the ancient Americas, ancient art, and Japanese and Korean art. And it's the sort of thing where it then came up with the idea, I think I'm going to do an art project.
Based on the same idea, or?
No, there it's the sort of thing where, given that they have labeled everything fairly nationalistically in terms of European and American art, art of the ancient Americas,
and so on. I have questions about that.
It is the sort of thing where I'm saying, I wonder if they have any Canadian art, especially since I was reading The Visual Arts in Canada, the 20th Century. And I don't know if they have any Canadian art. I didn't see any or anything like that, except for the Inuit art, because they're in, even though they have their own lands and stuff like that, they're in Canada. And given that the Princeton University Art Museum sort of goes along national geographic boundaries as opposed to ethnocultural geographic boundaries. So I would consider I would assume that they would consider Inuit art Canadian art, or a partial thing, and especially since four of the chapters in the Visual Arts in Canada, the 20th century, deal with Inuit art and Native and Aboriginal art and stuff like that. But it occurred to me on the train ride home, hey, if I were to write letters to, because they're like thousands upon millions of billions and gazillions of university art museums and art galleries in the States and in Europe and all over the place. And one of the reasons why I do this, talking about Canadian art on the air and stuff like that, is because for the most part, Canadian art doesn't get any respect anywhere. So I was thinking along the lines of writing letters to these various curators and museums and saying, "Dear Mr. Curator, do you have any Canadian art?" And then once I get the responses, publishing the letters and the responses either on something on the internet, something in a book, or maybe just framing them all and putting them up on a wall someplace, and sort of just seeing the variety of answers you get from people about why or if they have Canadian art and what Canadian art they have and so on. And given that it is the same question asked repeatedly of a bunch of different people, it could be potentially interesting, or at least fun.
I was wondering about what does it mean to be a Canadian artist and making your art Canadian? Like, what does that mean? How does that... And that's a whole other conversation.
I think it just means that basically you get ignored for the most part.
But, I mean, you could very well have a Canadian artist decide to do whatever was presented in that museum or that art space that you saw all this art in and decide that, actually, I'm going to make some Korean art and I'm Canadian. Because half of me is Korean, let's say, whatever.
Well, maybe three quarters of you.
See, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they could say it's Canadian art.
Well, no, it's like the Olympics in terms of where you can be born in one country, but then you become a citizen of another. And so you decide that, okay, these guys are going to want me into the Olympics as opposed to those guys because I'm not that good. Therefore, if I go under the Canadian flag, then at which point, since they have their sort of idea of we only accept gold medal winners, and so we don't send anybody else if they don't get a gold medal, so then I'm going to go and play for some other country, and at which point they are much more understanding and welcoming and inviting of all athletes of all types. And talking about the whole idea of the Olympics as a process and a concept and an idea as opposed to an out-and-out competition where only the gold medals win or matter.
Food for thought.
Yes.
Thank you, Zeke.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Time right now is 7:43. We're going to go straight to a message, and then we're going to chat with Sabrina.